You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On the Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Paddock with the Dallas Morning News, here today to finish the series breaking down the Rangers opening day roster. But first, there's a bit of news that went down. Obviously, we talked yesterday, Grant and I did, about the Rangers opening up to full capacity. But something I didn't touch on earlier, Rangers prospect Byron Lara, who was one of their top signees from a few years ago, was in a serious auto accident in the Dominican Republic. He is 18 years old. And he received a $4 million signing bonus back in 2019. But he was in a very, very serious car accident near his home in the Dominican Republic on Saturday. According to at least one report out of the DR, at least one of the passengers in his car has passed away. Several others have been transported to the hospital. The report listed Laura's condition as serious. And the Rangers had this to say in a statement: "We are aware of the accident involving Byron Lara and several other individuals today in the Dominican Republic. We are working to gather more information at this time. Our thoughts and prayers are with the individuals that were involved in this accident and our families." Now, Lara did post on social media that his wife had passed away. So definitely thoughts and prayers are with him. Very serious. Hope that he gets healthy. Hope that everybody else that was in that accident can be healthy, that everything turns out okay, because that is a very, very serious condition that was not talked about a whole lot. So just thought y'all should be aware. But starting on that very grim note, we are going to roster projections. A more fun note: today I'm going to be looking at the bench. There's going to be a 26-man roster, by the way. So let's look at how the roster breaks down from what I have already said so far. I had a 7-man bullpen as of last week. I'm going to have to amend that. I'm taking at least one player away. I might be talked into taking away two different players because of the Rangers' plans with their starting rotation. Found out this week that it's looking like they're going to go with split starts for the final two spots in their starting rotation. As of this point, the bullpen, I had Jose Leclerc, Jolly Rodriguez, Brett Martin, Joe Palumbo, Brett DeGus, Josh Spores, and Jordan Lyles. Starting rotation, I had Gibson, Mike Foltynewicz, Dane Dunning, Kohei Arihara, and one of Kyle Cody, Colby Allard, and Hyunjun Yong. Now it's looking like those two spots will be piggyback starts, so I had to amend my starters and my bullpen. Right now I'm taking out Brett Martin just from the opening day roster, simply because he has options. He'll be back for a good chunk of the season, but as of right now, I'm taking him out of the bullpen. I could be talked into taking out Josh Spores as well, but I feel like they didn't need that many lefties in the pen, especially since they'll have a few of those piggyback starters being lefties. So my final four spots, in final four half spots, I guess, in the Rangers rotation, I'm predicting Kyle Cody. This is in no particular order. Kyle Cody, Dane Dunning. Dunning or Arihara, I think, is going to be one of the two piggyback starters. I put Arihara as more of a sure starter, just like I know Gibson's definitely going to be a sure starter. I'm pretty sure Foltynewicz will be as well. Basically, anybody but Gibson, I think, is up for one of those two last spots in the rotation. The only reason I said Dunning is because he is still young, only has, I believe, 7 starts in the major leagues. So maybe getting him started as a combination guy, spot starter, piggyback start, I guess, is the term that I'm going to be using. I think that might help him. So anyway, Cody, Dunning, Colby Allard, and Wes Benjamin. Wes Benjamin has been the best pitcher in the Rangers rotation. He has embraced analytics and pitch design, and he has been just fantastic this offseason. He's never a guy who was a big prospect, but every time I saw him in the minor leagues, I thought, like, okay, that guy's a little better than I thought. He's going to be turning 28 pretty soon. He's pitched in 6 innings so far, allowed just one hit, struck out 4, has a 150 ERA. His stuff is never going to blow anybody away. Like, it sits in the low 90s. But he worked with the guys in Seattle about just fixing all of his stuff. He's got very creative pitchability. He is definitely a crafty lefty. And, you know, the manager can't stop praising him. He said, when asked if he was going to be in the final four, he said, "I don't know, but he's making it very, very hard not to put him on the team." He's only got 8 big league outings, and only one of them was a start. And just the characteristics he talks about, the science, the vertical ride, I don't really know exactly what that is, but Wes Benjamin has absolutely embraced pitching science and pitch design. He said, I think it's the most fun to be able to design your own pitch, to be able to do something that people haven't necessarily seen. It's tough to get seen or noticed in this game, so I had to get creative. I had to really start to master my craft and what I had to do out there each time. It's been a skill I'm slowly picking up, but it's a lot of fun to hop on the mound every day. So 2 years ago, he was suggested to use a cut fastball instead of a slider. The slider was a little bit slow and too similar to his changeup, so he worked on pitch design. He's making mid-inning adjustments, figuring out how to throw pitches off of his changeup, which is pretty darn good, and throwing a curveball and a cutter more often. So he's trying to be able to manipulate every single pitch, and it's really worked. The pitch design has worked for him. It's working in spring training. I thought he really impressed in the outings that he had last year. So I think Wes Benjamin is going to make one of those places on the Rangers rotation. So right now we are at 13 players. We haven't even gotten to any position players yet, but we are going to. So right after this word from our sponsors, we're going to look at the position players that are outlined as starters and then get into what I'm finally going to talk about, which is the Rangers bench and how it looks this year. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for nearly 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com, shop for all the auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. If you know everything about cars, if you know nothing about cars, if you know some things about cars, RockAuto.com is the place to go. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to use. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose from the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com, they are always reliably low. They're the same for pros and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? You wouldn't. You would go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get the daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's look at the starters. Right now, I feel pretty good about my starters picks. I think they're all pretty locked in there with where they are. So we got 13 spots for the position players. Maybe more if you take out one bullpen piece, which I might do. I might just have to take out Josh Boers. No, I'm not going to do it yet. Maybe once we get down to the end, and if I have two guys that I like for one spot, then I might have to do it. But as of right now, here's how it stands. Here are the starters. At catcher, Jose Trevino. First base, Nate Lowe. Second base, Nick Solek. Shortstop, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Third base, Rougned Odor. Right field, Joey Gallo. Center field, Leody Taveras. Left field, David Dahl. And DH, Willie Calhoun. Now, that's 9 more, and we are at 22 of 26 roster spots filled. So, here's what we need from our backups. We need a backup catcher, backup infielder, backup outfielder, and, you know, let's say backup infielder slash outfielder. Someone who can do both. That's 4 spots. So let's look at the first and most obvious. We need a backup catcher. There are 3 possible candidates for this spot. And I don't expect Texas to have 3 catchers because, you know, none of these guys have really been super impressive in spring training, but they're definitely going to need all the roster spots they can get for all the pitchers that they are going to carry this year. So here are the 3 candidates: Jonah Heim, Drew Butera, and John Hicks. John Hicks was a non-roster invitee who has not had a very noteworthy career so far. He's having a pretty fine spring at this point. He's got 6 games, 7 plate appearances. He has a pair of hits. One of those was a home run. So the OPS is at 1,000, even though he has not walked. He has struck out 3 times. A 31-year-old, not very exciting career, has been fine. has played in the big leagues from 2015 to 2019, didn't play in the big leagues last year with Seattle and Detroit, has 254 games under his belt, and last played 2019, played 95 games for Detroit, had an OPS of 620, a career OPS of 670, so a little bit better offensive option than Drew Butera, who is a 37-year-old catcher who is a career backup and has a reputation for being a very, very strong defensive catcher. He won a 2015 World Series back in the day with Kansas City, was traded there, and has been in the big leagues since 2010. Did play in the big leagues last year for Colorado, 28 games there, had a 396 OPS, has a career 550 OPS, which is not great. In 2019 in Coors Field, playing for Colorado, had a 462 OPS. That under 400 OPS last year playing with Colorado. In 10 games in 2018, he did have a half-decent OPS of 741. Only been one time he's had an OPS over 700 for a season. That was in 2016 with Kansas City. He played in 55 games, had an 808 OPS. But everywhere else, it's been terrible. He has not been a good offensive catcher, but he's been very good defensively, so that might just get him the job. And then lastly, we have Jonah Heim, who is a 26-year-old catcher the Rangers received as the primary return in the Elvis Andrus trade. Andrus, I don't know why I'm saying Andrus. He's 6'4", 220, has not had a super great spring training so far, only played in five games, 10 at-bats, one hit in that time, and it was a single. He has not struck out. He has not walked. So, but defensively, I haven't noticed him too much there. I mean, he's looked fine. He's looked playable. He's a switch hitter. I think he is the leader for this position just because the other two guys aren't that special. And he is in part a important trade, and the Rangers believe in him and his potential. That's why they asked for him in this trade. So I think that he is going to be the Rangers' opening day backup catcher. So let's look at the next roster spot, the backup infield spot. Ideally, I want this person to play all four infield positions. I want them to play them well enough, or at least just everywhere but first base, because, you know, you can slide pretty much anyone over there to first base. Definitely any of the backup catchers, they can play first base. Also, I think that Jose Trevino might be able to slip back into third base if they needed him in an emergency, or I think he might be more likely to play third base than Joey Gallo would if they absolutely needed somebody. But here are the candidates at this point that are, I believe, serious candidates. We have Brock Holt, Andy Ibañez, Charlie Culberson, also Eli White, even though he's mainly playing center field. Eli White's a guy who has played a bunch of positions, is a right-handed hitter, and has shown some potential for hitting well in the minors. He is 27 years old. I might like him better for the infield slash outfield spot. He's a righty. Listed position is left field, but he has played quite a few different places. He made his major league debut in 2020 with the Rangers, played 19 games there, did not do super well, hit 188, on base of 231, slug 229. It took him a long, long time, was making very hard contact, having good plate appearances, but he just couldn't get that first hit. And then what he did, I believe it was a double that scored a run. So he's a guy who I've really liked in the minors for quite a while. The advanced numbers are pretty solid on him. He has played mainly just the outfield in the big leagues, left field, right field, and center field for a game, and DH'd as well. But he's played a little bit of third base in the minors, was an infielder for a while, now primarily outfield. So I might just consider him for that position. He has done very well in spring training so far. Has a on base of 444, slugging 667, with an OPS of 1111, make a wish, one home run, one triple. Has as many walks as strikeouts, which is 3 and 3 apiece. But yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and push him to the outfield. The other guys, Charlie Culberson is a guy who's right-handed and will probably split time at third base with Rugi. I feel like he is the most likely candidate. Brock Holt hasn't been that compelling so far in spring training. Not that Culberson really has. Actually, that's a lie. Culberson has been very good in spring training, hitting 455 with an on base over 500, slugging over 600. Yeah, he is very much impressed. Doesn't have any home runs or doubles, but does have a triple because, of course, why wouldn't you have a triple in spring training? That is just very Rangers. Andy Ibañez is a guy who I've never been that high on, but he's having a very, very good spring. He is 28 years old. It feels like he's been in the Ranger system forever. He's played in 12 games. Defensively, he's still not that special. And if Nick Solak didn't really already have the second base job locked up, then I might think that he has a chance at the second base job. But Brock Holt has been not too special in so far in spring training. Is hitting under 200 and slugging under 350. So things are not super great for him. I mean, there's been some Josh Young, some Anderson Tejeda, and Davis Wenzel, but none of those guys are probably going to make this roster. But I believe Charlie Culberson is the guy who's going to get this spot. Andy Ibañez will probably see some big league time this year. I think he makes his big league debut this year. The hitting is there. The defense is improving. So I think he's going to make his debut this year, but not on the opening day roster. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the final two spots, the backup outfield and the quote-unquote backup do-it-all guy, right after this word from our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to get your place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market, for quite a while now. It's the amazing low sugar, high protein, high fiber, low calorie, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, peanut butter brownie versus coconut almond. I don't think this is a very close contest. Peanut butter brownie is elite. Had a very, very hard matchup in the first round against Raspberry, but they made it to the Sweet 16. So good on them. Very proud of you. Well done, peanut butter brownie. You have got to make it on. But you're going to go very far in this bracket. You're on a tough side of the bracket, but I believe in you. You can go very, very far. So that's Built Bar Madness. Go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_Bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON15 to get your 15% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We're counting down the days to opening day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Next Wednesday, March 24th. The Locked On MLB podcast begins one of our biggest events of the year, marked with the Locked On MLB Division Preview Series. All of our local experts in every MLB market answer the biggest questions around each team. There is no better or easier way to get baseball smart before opening day. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. So this final roster spot might be the most contentious. We have the backup outfield spot. So we have Eli White, Delino DeShields, and Ronald Guzman. Now, I feel like this is pretty much Delino DeShields' to lose. He is the only one that I feel, or the one that I feel most confident in playing center field. Eli White has shown that he can play center field pretty well. Delino's OPS in spring training has been pretty solid so far, as a 690 OPS. He's never going to be a guy who's going to slug quite a bit, has walked, struck out three times, is hitting .286, on base of .333. That on base is the most important offensive stat for Delino DeShields because he is one of the fastest players in baseball. I'm not quite sure he's the fastest, but he definitely was at one point. He's not quite there yet. I think he's still the fastest person on this roster. There might be a person or two who might be faster than him, but he is an elite defensive center fielder. We have seen that. We have seen him grow. He can play any outfield spot. Defensively, I think he is a little behind Leody still. He is one of the best defensive outfielders, I think, in center field because of that speed, and now his reads have gotten so much better. But Leody, I think, is the best defensive center fielder in baseball behind just Byron Buxton, just behind him. So second best, I should say. But having Delino Shields as your backup center fielder and having him there to mentor Leody and push him and just as a presence in the locker room and as a potential pinch runner slash pinch hitter, whatever, Delino, I think, gets this spot because of his elite defensive ability. His offense might be lacking a little bit. And I think Eli White has really pushed him. I think it's going to be really close. But I do think that Leody or Delino is going to be the one that ends up with this spot because of the familiarity. So now we have one last spot for the backup infielder slash outfielder. There's only really two guys that claim this. They could have two backup infielders. So I'm just going to kind of throw back everybody that's still in here. We have Ronald Guzman, Eli White, and Andy Ibanez that are competing for this spot. I don't think Brock Holt has a chance to make this roster. I'm just not that excited about him. They don't need another lefty. They just don't. And even if they did, he has not quite been good enough to make their roster. He might make somebody else's roster. He might make Pittsburgh's, or he might just end up spending the season in AAA. But I don't think he's going to make this roster. So Andy Ibanez is very positionally limited. Defensively, he can only play second and third base, maybe a little bit of first base. I don't think he's played the outfield at all in his career, but I think he's a better hitter than Eli White. Actually, I don't know. I think it might be a toss up between him and Eli White, but man, the spring training that Ronald Guzman is having, it's just so good. It's just so good. And I said that I thought he was going to be on this roster. I mean, right now he's hitting .353, on base of .450, slugging .824 for a .1274 OPS. Has a pair of home runs, pair of doubles, three walks, three strikeouts. He's just been absolutely tearing the cover off the ball. And I think that this could really vault him into having a good regular season. He's played six games at first base, one game in right field, one game at left field. I think that he is going to make this roster. He has worked his butt off. He has changed his swing, and it shows. And I hate to do this to Eli White because Eli White is a guy who deserves to be a big leaguer and is going to be a part of this team for quite a few years, whether it's as a fourth outfielder or just backup, whatever you need. Backup right-handed hitter who comes in and, you know, does some damage every once in a while. Gosh, yeah. You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give it to both of them. I'm going to take Josh Spores. Sorry, Josh Spores, Hive, but I'm going to take him off this bullpen along with Brett Martin to give two do-anything spots to this roster. Therefore, I'm saying that Chris Davis doesn't make this cut. I didn't even include him because that's how bad he's done. I think it's going to be very, very difficult for him to make this roster. He has had a horrible spring. He's always had horrible springs. He's owed a lot of money, so it's going to hurt if the Rangers have to eat his contract. But I just don't think he makes this roster. Everybody else has been doing too well for him to have a chance, and it's not worth it for them to have to take a bet and see. Maybe it is worth it to them, but I don't know. I just really don't see it. It's not going to be – they'd have to basically either cut Ronald Guzman or go basically without a backup infielder that can play shortstop and second base or cut Delino, one of those three options, because there's not an option where it happens for all of them. Maybe it does happen. They just don't feel great about Eli White, and they do the same thing that I did, have a smaller bullpen so that they can carry Chris Davis and see if there's anything there. But there's not even really a spot for him to play because everyone else has played so well. So that's what I think. I think that it's going to hurt. They're going to have to pay the $16.7 million that he's owed, and he will be a free agent. And this might be the end for Chris Davis in the big leagues. But that's kind of the price they pay. And it's going to suck to watch Ellis Sanders do really, really well and think, oh, we should have gotten a better return, especially if Chris Davis doesn't make this roster. So, but that's where we are. That's where the Rangers are. And it's not a great place, but it's the place we are. That's going to do it for today's episode. It's been a very fun one. We got a little bit more than a week until spring training, but this week marks 2 years that I've been with the Locked On Podcast Network. I had no idea what the heck I was doing when I first emailed David Locke out of the blue saying, hey, you guys don't have a Locked On Rangers host or a Locked On Rangers show. Let me start this show for you. And Morgan and I thought we knew everything, and we learned so much how much we didn't do. So I just wanted to say thank you all for listening to me for these last 2 years or however long you've been listening to me. Even if you listen to just one episode or watch just one episode on WAA, thank you to David Locke for taking a chance on me and Morgan as well. And I want to thank Morgan for helping me get this podcast started and making it the podcast it is today. I definitely wouldn't be here if you didn't stick it out for me for that whole first year. So thanks to all of you. That's going to do it for today's episode. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.